Amen.
We have a town down in Oklahoma named Gene Autry. I was a boy, I used to go to shows to see Gene Autry. He's a cowboy. I never had no use for him because I wore white gloves and sung him old love songs. I wanted Hoot Gibson or Tom Mix or Tim McCoy or Buck Jones with his horse running wide open shooting at a bunch of wild men. You know, I don't know that there. Sissy stuff, but they asked him up to Madison Square Garden, and he's a multimillionaire and owns a big baseball team. He rode in on his big old horse and got off and fell down, slid on his hands and knees and them white gloves and got up and said, "Just the way I get off." I know you've heard a lot about that, but that happened to Gene Autry. I'm not talking about that boy down in Arkansas come off over his head and got up and said, "Just the way I got off." I'm talking about Gene Autry. And I thought, as I come up here, we've got lots of people that make lots of appearances and with all of their glory and all of their pomp, but I'd just like to be a man of God. My son Terry started preaching. David went to preaching. I never called either one of them. Didn't have nothing in the world to do with some preaching. And they'll have to find out even if they called. I guess Terry is. That's up to him, the Lord. He's been a preaching a while now in several places, but gets in his father's meat and wants to help it. And I appreciate children trying to help in the service. Wouldn't you like to have your boy in church tonight and your girl in church tonight and have them trying to do a little something for the Lord? I don't know. I don't know whether you're a preacher or not. If you just took to preaching because you testified good, you'll fan out. I mean, you will, and it'll hurt you too. And if you ain't careful, you won't be worth snapping your finger to the church no more. Folks that says they call to preach and ain't, and then gets out and tries it and can't, and gets mad at all the pastors because won't ask them for a meeting, usually they ain't worth a flip to come back in the church because they think they're too great a speaker to teach a class again, and they wouldn't be caught sweeping the floor. Hallelujah.
Preach.
Are y'all hollering amen?
Yeah.
Preach. Oh, God. David got off of preaching, and I love my preacher brothers. I do. God knows I do. I love them. I cry about them. I love them. I sure do. But you know why? Just talking to my preacher brothers a minute. David got off preaching and called me one night and said, "It ain't doing so good, Daddy." I said, "Yeah, I know it." No, I didn't say I thought I was doing so good either, children, but I am called. And if I don't know whether I am or not after 40 years, just leave me alone. Praise God. If I ain't, they know you're fooling with me. I'll be too hard-headed to take it anyhow. He went off preaching, and he hadn't done so well. He said, "Daddy ain't doing so good. He's out of state." And I said, "Well, would it backslide you to come on back into church and take a class or sweep the floor or help us mow the yard and go on with God and just tell him you missed it?" "No," he said, "it wouldn't." Said, "But he said, I ain't give up yet." Said, "Thanks, still am." "Well," I said, "this is Sunday, and you're going to preach here tonight?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You get out of there. Get away from all them people. Don't even let them know where you're at. You stay in prayer till just a little while before church. And don't you talk to nobody. And you come back in there and keep your mouth shut. Sit down by some fellow that's been working on a car all day. Overhaul out a whole engine 30 minutes before church right in your ear." I love men that work on cars, but I'm called to preach, not preach cars. You know what I mean? Don't misunderstand me now, but sometimes if you're going to be a man of God, children, I'm talking to preacher now. Y'all listen, don't you? You got to separate yourself.
Amen.
And you got to get in touch with where the messages come from.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. God help Brother Moore. I may not preach a lick tonight, but you got to be able to do more than talk about some fellow you read about.
Amen. Amen.
And about one that night, that old Jeff Utter, he's nearly gone, boys. He's about to leave us. He's still walking around, but he's about fought it all. But you know what? The phone rung and that old boy said, "LD," he said, "that boy of yours preached tonight. You hear me?" Well, it's been different ever since. So we're glad to be here. I was touched to see Sister Shell come in. I hadn't seen her in so long. I was in her home when I was young and beautiful. And David was, "Oh, Charlie, be quiet. You ain't running this." I know I was over at your place too, Charlie, long about that time. But it's great to have friends. I'd rather have them as have money.
Yeah.
Money can't cook. freeze to death. There's money in your pocket. I tell you, a good woman cook for you. You can eat that and live, but you can't eat money. I'd rather have friends as money. And we're happy to see Sister Shale here with us tonight. And there's Murray. There's Murray sitting right there. You've had a terrible battle of it, Murray. But God bless you. Stay with him. It's one of them problems you've got. Murray's cooked for me when I was young. When we had a 5-inch snow and an 8-inch snow on the ground there in old Dayton, and Mary's a cooking while I got bad sick at her house. Thought I'd die there, but the Lord healed me there. And I'm glad there. Sister Vaughn, she's cooked for me when I was a very young man. She's cooked for me in her home. I can't understand the world quitting. What's the matter, world? You ain't near old enough to retire or nothing. You don't slow up. You in hell, just take a little rest. All right, then. I love these preachers, brother, and I don't use to make a speech about preachers, but I was touched tonight by the preachers and their wives that come to this meeting. How much longer will we come? LL's gone. I don't mean LL, I beg your pardon. Buster Wilson. What was his initial? LH, I beg your pardon. LH, Buster Wilson's gone, and Vince Wilson is gone. We buried him the other day, had 80 preachers at his funeral. And Johnny Trevilian's gone. Mooneyham is gone. Claude Ely's gone. So we go, whether we want to or not. From wherever we are, we are travelers. We are travelers. We are going. You said when we ate supper together, somebody called it dinner. I always called it breakfast, dinner, and supper. I don't know who's right. But anyhow, supper's what we ate. Seemed, I thought it was, anyhow. You said you would feed yourself at the marriage supper. That's what you said. You may feed yourself before you get there, son. But you will there. That you may before you get there. Where's the old boy that got the Holy Ghost last night? Raise your hand. Look over there. Wasn't too slow about it, was he? You get it. You know whether you got it or not. And it will react just about like his reacted. You just can't hardly keep from it. I want to ask you to pray with me. Got a call about 30 minutes ago. My mother's 83. She's at the point of death in Hobbs, New Mexico. My sister called. I just have one sister. And mother's in a coma. She's been in it for quite a while now. We don't have any life support systems on mother. It was agreed too long ago that if she got near death, we wouldn't force her to stay here. Now, you may not understand that, but we didn't take any off of her. She just doesn't have any on her. She hasn't got pneumonia. I mean, she hasn't just had a severe attack, heart attack. Her vital organs are wore out, and they're just not functioning. Yeah. I hope the Lord, if it's your will, let me stay through the homecoming. But if it don't, it's a long ways from here where my mother's body is. Yeah. I want to ask you to pray with me at this time for my mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're reading from 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the first verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Does that mean backsliding? I'm just going to preach tonight now like I could do because I can't preach no other way, but I just heard a doctor on radio the other day tell about a preacher had been from church and had a woman in every church and said, lost his testimony. He said, didn't have nothing to do with his salvation, but he lost his testimony. I thought it had something to do with his salvation. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what a seducing spirit is? Sure you do. Most everybody does. But it's to entice from the paths of truth and virtue, to seduce. Come on over here. You do just as well over here. There's no use praying, seeking God like that, and worrying yourself. Just trust the bishop take care of that, or the priest, and you just come on over here and do this. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, folks can get so seared their conscience, don't even bother them. Yeah, that's right. They can get to where they can shoot their own daddy down and not even worry about it. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Seems like the devil's an extremist. He's told people I am, but I'm not. I am not an extremist. No, sir. No, ma'am. I am not. But he is. And you know what he does? He either forbids them to marry or tells them to marry a whole lot. He's got some fellows riding bicycles down in the country where I live. And they, glory to God. Only reason every one of them ain't got four or five wives is there's a few state laws that stops it in some places. But they can't hardly enforce them in other places, and they still haven't gotten stopped. And their old forefathers started, that's supposed to be an angel nearly, and he just had gobs of wives. Yeah. Forbidding to marry, yeah, that old evil devil, and commanded to abstain from meats. Yeah. I may get in trouble someday, but if I do, it won't be the first time. But you know, I felt sorry for the precious Catholic people that had to do without meat on Friday and died like that and lived 60, 80, 100 years like that, and then all of a sudden they changed the rule and you could eat it on Friday. I felt so sorry for them. I want to tell you one thing. You do better to believe one thing and know that's God's Bible and believe that all your life than you will to believe a thousand things and never believe the right thing. Yeah. I'm going to preach on Little Salt here in a minute. For every creature of God, let's get the third verse. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from each which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know, I heard a vegetarian speak here a while back. And he told how good vegetables for you. I know it. I love them. Yeah. I love them. Sure. So I said, how you like chicken? I said, I like it. He meant, how did I want it fixed? But you can't hardly fix it, so it ain't right. Right. It's right any way you fix it, nearly. Yes, he said that the reason we were so much like beasts is because we eat meat. Commanding to abstain from meats. I said, I'd like for you to explain to me what that dentist means by them grinders and them rippers and all that stuff in your mouth. He said it's put in there so you could rip meat and eat it. Why'd God stick it in there if he didn't want you to use it?
Amen. Right, brother.
Just a few little simple thoughts before I get to ones as simple as any I've ever used. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Don't make a doctrine out of black socks. Wear them if you like them. But don't tell me I've got to wear them because you, if you don't want to eat meat, eat vegetables and live 100 years. But don't get at the table with me and try to ruin my appetite when they got the turkey finished just because you don't eat meat and you're going to try to teach everybody else they ain't supposed to. Spinning our wheels in the church world lots of times with a bunch of things that don't mean a thing and leaving main things alone that we ought to be fooling with. Every creature is good. Nothing can be received if it be sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Pray over it. Seek the Lord over it. Do like Sam did down in Oklahoma. Went in that restaurant and seen a sign. And it said, prayer changes things. When they thank God over the food, Sam read that sign. He got so stirred, he shouted. Ooh, when he come outside with his old uncle, he is a sinner, got in that pickup. He said, Sam, a place to do that shouting. Well, Sam said, I felt bad. Went back to the same town a little while later. That same old uncle stopped in that same restaurant. Went in to sit down to eat. Lady come up and said, are you the man that shouted in here? Yes, Mom. He said, I sure am. She said, "Order you the biggest steak in here. You boys eat anything in the world you want. All you want of it, I own this place. And I never had anything do me so much good in all my life as that shouting you done in here." And it all took place over that sign he saw up there and over praying over the food. It is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. It makes a difference whether you go to the hospital sick or not, or whether you're well while others do go sometimes, if you pray over what God gives you to eat. That may not sound important to you, but I'm going to tell you what, it's getting pretty important in America when we've got so many unthankful people with so much to eat and won't even thank God for it. All right, my little text is in the first verse. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." I want to ask tonight, I want to preach tonight on "the Spirit speaketh." No great message, but I was praying earnestly today. I thought the Lord moved on me. He hasn't moved on me to say everything I say. He hasn't moved on me to preach everything I preach. But I want to talk to you a while on "the Spirit speaketh" tonight. What did he mean by that? "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," puts an emphasis on it. What was going to happen in the last day? Spirit said it. Is it saying anything tonight? If so, what is it saying? What does it say? "The Spirit moved upon me since I've been here, Eddie. And from where I'm at now, I pointed at you and told you that you need to go back to Mississippi." Last night, at 12 o'clock, the phone rang, and a brother, your pastor down there, said, "Tell Eddie to get here as soon as he can when he gets through up there at that meeting. If he stays through it, come on. If he feels led to come back before, whatever, tell him to get here." I know that you can't establish your doctrine on what folks say the Spirit told them to tell you. But I want to preach a while on "the Spirit speaketh" tonight. Amen. What is it saying? What does it talk about? Not only do we have the Word of God to teach us, but there's such a thing as the Spirit speaking to us. I notice here in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, book of Acts, 29th verse. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." He had seen a chariot going out through the desert. And the Spirit said something to him. Oh, I wish we could have more of that. Where has it gone? Does it talk to people? What does it tell people? It's strange to me. I remember Charlie, he called me first meeting I ever held for him. I'd been back and we were just young men. Before they ever built the church there they got now while he was over in the other church. And he wrote me or called me, I don't know which one. Anyhow, he contacted me and he said, "Come and preach me a meeting." And the Spirit said, "Go." I know what it did, Charlie. I know what it said. And you know, I went, and who in the world would have figured you'd have to drive the tires off your car to get where he's at? I wasn't used to having to drive no such a distance to get where a preacher was to hold him a meeting. It wouldn't make me no difference if the Spirit said go, if I had to cross oceans, take a trip up around the moon to get where it is at. It don't matter to me now. But I didn't know then as so far. I just drove and drove and drove till I looked like I had to break the speed limit to get there. Maybe didn't have to, but I sure had to drive. And you know, when I finally got there, I didn't have no time to freshen up. I thought I'd change shirts, so I parked in a road down there. And I didn't know it was in a road, but sure enough, pretty soon here comes a set of headlights, and I was changing the shirt in the front seat and sitting right in the middle of a road. Seemed like I don't do so well in the way I do things, but it sure did put me into the shirt fast, you know. I mean, it done that. I remember I had a big old overcoat on this wintertime, and I come in, forgot to take it off. Striking evangelist, striking appearance, a striking personality. Charlie didn't, he looked up and said, "I never have seen him before, but that's him." That's him, right, children? The Spirit said, "Go nearer and ask them if they care for you to join. And if they act like the least bit that don't like it, tell them you've done your part and go on and leave them. Let them go to hell." That ain't what it said, was it?
You know, we had an old preacher down home was so full of God in the Bible and had a 13-year police record when he left Arkansas. He was drunk on canned heat and wood alcohol. The day his boy got run over and killed, didn't even know where he's at. They locked him in jail all over the country. And you know what? That old man got religion one day. I tell you, that old boy prayed through. He got saved and preached for God and preached for the Lord. He preached in 13 beer joints every Saturday night. He met my own father-in-law coming out of one of them. Face to face with the gospel. He'd go in there before they got too drunk early in the evening. Proprietors that owned them would tell them, set the beer glasses down at Brother Foster's here. And he had a little deal that played records and a harness he wore, and the record table set level, and he cranked it. You ever see one of them old crank? And it'd play, and he'd play Amazing Grace and At the Cross. And then they'd say, pray for me. And he'd say, kneel right here. Knelt and prayed many a drunk through right there in that joint. Spirit move on him. Spirit move on that old boy. Why, that feller, he didn't look back. He let the Spirit speak to him. They didn't want some of them on him in there. He didn't make no difference to him. Well, they wanted him. The Spirit said, go. The Spirit said, do it. Why, they throwed him in jail for it. And he said, Brother Moore, went to see him. It's what I've got makes jail bars shine like diamonds. Write me a card or letter and address it to King's Palace, Parlor Number 2, City Jail. That's the way I addressed it, too. I wrote him, and the old jailer got it and said, the fella that wrote that ought to be thrown in here with you. Glory. You know what they done when I was in the courtroom and they tried him? Judge said, you're accused of preaching on the streets without a permit. Do you know why he preached on the streets? Because the Spirit said, go and tell him. You go by the hospital room because they act like they don't want you. You turn your head because they act like they don't need you. I'll tell you what, you're going to miss what the Spirit says to you after a while, and you're not going to do nothing. Bless my heart. You know what? He said, Judge, I have two permits. The judge said, oh, out with it, man. What is it? He said, the Bible gives me one and the Constitution gives me another. I thought he had a good case. He went to Supreme Court with it. The old judge couldn't stand it. He said, put him in the pen. Put him in the jail cell. No, Brother Foster said, Daniel 12, 1 through 4, said to be a time of trouble last time, which never shall be or ever was. Said, if this is not that time, while it be when he gets here? And he said, take him away. They kept him in there 4 days. And the old judge sent him a fella in, said, take this card. It'll keep the police off of you. He said, it didn't do anything to care. They ain't going to have it. He wouldn't have the card. Went in the next day, sign your own bond. We'll turn you loose. He said, the Spirit said not to, and I'm not going to. Come in about the next day and sold his clothes in there to him and said, get out of here, Foster. You're free. Went right back down the street corner, preached again, put him right back in the jailhouse. And he faced the old judge, and the judge said, what do you think ought to do with you for preaching on the streets without a permit? How in the world can you arrest a man for something he can't obtain? We couldn't get a permit in the state of Oklahoma. And they had him in jail for not having one. Sounds crazy, but that's the way it was, Pharaoh. You know what the man of God said that was moved upon by the Spirit to preach the gospel? Go into all the world, and Kentucky happens to be part of it. Knife-carrying, gun-slinging Kentucky wild men. Go preach the gospel. There's a one of them where he'd have been lost forever if somebody hadn't braved the storm and went after you, Chester. You old gambler, you. Old farmer gambler, converted by the grace of God because the Spirit said, go tell Chester. He's hard as flint rock, but I can whip him. And God got you, didn't he? Wow, there's Sister Shell. She taught school, didn't she? Don't make the Spirit no difference. He'll bring a man in and says hallelujah to God and get a bunch of school teachers saved with him. We got a school teacher down in Arkansas, deadest woman I ever seen spiritually. Went to school. I don't know how some folks stand to go to church for years and years. Hear the self swaller. Can't never holler glory, amen, or nothing. I'd say it if I said hallelujah. I'd say it if I'd done like that old boy in Oklahoma, said, glory to be God. Sounded a little wrong to me, but he got through with it. Hallelujah. Now, don't think I'm trying to be smart, but I'm going to tell y'all, can't no grave hold my body down is improper English. Can't no grave, girl, that's not, now listen, that's not good English now, you boys. But I'll tell you what, that old boy that makes them records in Benson Studio in Oklahoma City, when I sung, did you know I'm a I'm on a record, and fella, you've got a... It's been years and years since we've just put one out. And we sold them too cheap in Charlotte's church and had to raise the price because it looked like it was undermining the record market. But we didn't make them to make a pile of money on, you see. But when I sung on that record and I felt like singing an old song, one night old Brother Daniel, in a vision he was seen. I went to singing that old song about that holy mountain, and I got to singing that, and right in the middle of it, old Benson said, everybody, just keep playing. Somebody's got a string out of tune somewhere. 28 strings, if I remember right. I'll have to, about 28 strings playing, and that fellow had one kind of an ear. He said, it's E, the little E on that rhythm guitar right there. It's out of tune. Well, I just went right on. He stilled the tempest upon the sea, and they walked upon the waves. He cleansed the lepers from their spots, and he opened up the graves. Some said that he was a prophet when they saw the work that he'd done. But the Bible plainly tells us he was God's only son. Who was that man saw coming out of Edom with garments dyed as red as a crimson flow? Well, it was that man who died on Calvary's mountain to save us from an awful place below. Now he said, LD, you sing that different than anybody ever heard. Well, I said, it's out of doubt I'm singing it wrong. Ain't a doubt in the world about it. No use me trying to hide from nobody. I slide through the bird's eyes, run over the stop signs. Don't know nothing about half notes, full notes, or quarter notes, hardly. He said, let me tell you something. We don't change men that sing here. If it's worth recording, we work with them. We want Claude Ely on the record, Claude Ely. We want LD on the record, LD. What does he mean by that? When he heard David sing, he got saved in the fall. He turned around, looked at me, and said, you hear that? To his heifer, said, you hear it? He could feel that. He'd been healed of cancer and saved in the fall. David, he said, you put a fall scene on your album. He didn't ask David what he wanted. You put a fall scene on your album. And when David sung it to the old boy, he's well off down there. Benson Studios, well off in Oklahoma City now. But he looked around, and I felt the Spirit move on Benson. I knew it did. He knew it. Can't no grave hold your body down if the Spirit speaks. And you sing it like you sing it. And you sing it like God give it to you. It'll tear people all to pieces. What I'm putting the emphasis on tonight is one, a few words about three. The Spirit speaketh. What is it saying tonight? Use the ignorant boys in Oklahoma. Here come that Cherokee Indian out of the hills down with his work shoes on, his overalls, throwing his hands in the air and telling people God could save. Run to his own mama. Mama said, Jesus saved Willie. She said, Jesus saved Willie. Jesus saved mama. She went to trying to pray through in English and couldn't do it. She said, me no pray through English. Me pray through Cherokee. And of course, God talks it fluently. And he heard her when she cried in Cherokee and saved that old Indian woman. The Spirit said, go and join yourself to the chariot. They may say it's against the law. They may say you're too loud. They may say they don't need you. But don't let it faze you. Pour it on them. Do your best with it. When you get through, say you've done a good job at it. That poor old ignorant judge looked at C. Foster and said, what do you think I ought to do to you for preaching without a permit? He said, 40 years ago, my mother left me in a one-room log hut in the hills of Arkansas. Died and went to glory. Promised I'd meet her. Said, if there's anything in the world you can do to hurry the glad meeting up, do it, will you? That's pretty bold, ain't it, to tell a judge that? Well, he told him in the clink. Sold four more preachers in the clink. I went up the next day with another one. I said, we'll pack the jail out. If they're going to stand against the liberty to preach the gospel in America, we'll pack the jail out for them. Chief Police hauled me in. Son, he said, my grandpa's a preacher. That's good. But the spirit behind what he's saying was, but we're going to stop you from it. Well, he didn't. Finally said, me and another preacher, he said, what can you do with a man like Foster, the chief of police? Well, I said, there ain't nothing you can do with him. been a fasting, praying for 3 days in and there, and had 7 black boys crying and a praying in one cell block at one time, praying through. Spirit said, go join yourself. I tell you what, I'd sing a special, but the last time I sung, that sister sitting back over yonder made a face. Did you ever think you might have had a toothache? That ornery lying devil, you get up there and do your best. You didn't make near the fool out of yourself. It's your husband or your uncle or maybe your own children did down yonder at the parking lot of smoking that dope, or down there at the pool hall, or out yonder at that dance, puke all over their clothes and can't even find a way home and lay in the weeds beside of the road. Don't even know where they're at. He don't make fun of that. Testifying don't sound like the voice of an angel jump on you and tell you I wouldn't do it again. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd pray till the Spirit said trial again, and I'd do it again. Spirit speaketh. Go join yourself to that church. You know, I'm just telling you, I'm just preaching what I got. Sometimes that's a good way to cover up because you wasn't man enough to try to get anything. I know it, but that ain't what I'm saying that far. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't go on what other people tell you. You pray through and seek God. And when he moves on you to pass out a few tracts or to go to the hospital to visit somebody or to pray an hour down at the church house, turn it on and do it.
Stick him over the head or something like that and set him down over in a Zosis. I thought it was Zosis. That's it. Spirit speaking. Glory to God. Spoke to that old boy down yonder in Texas. Told him, go yonder to that Baptist revival and I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Brother Blackaby went. Hadn't been saved long. Went to that Baptist revival that night and there's closing. Evangelist asked him when he come to altar, what do you need? He said, I need the Holy Ghost. He said, are you saved? He said, oh yes. Said, you've already got it. I beg your pardon, sir. I do not have it, and I've come to receive it. He stayed about 1 that morning at that Baptist altar. God baptized Blackaby with the Holy Ghost and fire. He shouted, kicked, and hollered, and spoke in tongues all the way home for miles in that old Model A Ford about to kick the floorboards out. Baptists never did forget it. That's what it is for. That's the reason the Spirit said, go. It's not easy to obey the Spirit. It's not easy to do what the Spirit says do. I notice here in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, in the 19th verse, Bible said, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Brother over in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, sat in his own room. Lord said, brother so-and-so is coming to talk to you about a certain thing. Brother come in. About an hour. Talk. Loved each other. Said, I'll see you tomorrow. Left. Said, Lord, I thought you told me. He's coming to talk to me. Said he was. Next evening, the Spirit moved on away in the evening. Said he's coming back tonight. Talk to you about a certain thing. Come visit him, visit. Went on the way. Didn't talk to him. Lord, he said, I thought the Spirit told me. Said he did. Next evening, said, he's coming to you again. And he wants to talk to you about a certain thing. He talked to him that night about it. He said, let me talk to you a minute. Yesterday evening, the day before, said, didn't you come to talk to me about that? Yes, he said, I did, but just didn't have nerve enough to do it. And the Spirit said, you ever had Spirit speak to you, Chester? Get up and go. He spoke to Otto Davis, yonder at Subiaco, Arkansas, sick in the bed. Looked like he just bad sick. Said, if you'll get up and go into the cornfield on the side of the mountain, in the moonlight and offer a prayer, I'll heal you. You believe in things like that, George? Said, he got up, went in the field. Archie said, Brother Moore's sick, couldn't hardly live. Couldn't hardly get mole overalls. Fell between the cornrows. Oh, God, I said, I'm sick. But I thought you told me if I'd come here, you'd heal me. Power of God come upon him. Did you read about Vince? I hope you read about it if you didn't. He wrote his testimony down. It's about 82 when he wrote it down. Just a little while before he died, I read. He wrote just like Vince writes, bless his heart. Wrote just like Vince talks. And there come another man of God. And that's the way he starts and tells it. He'll tell you about being on the mountain. The power of God hit him in the back and healed him. Hitting him in the back and healed him. Jerking him from up off the ground. You know, God jerk a man around, all right. Ooh, he can't jerk a man around.
Hallelujah. Power of God come upon Autry and rose him up off his feet, and he danced the rocks off the hills, the hillside in the moonlight, and shouted and kicked rocks from down the mountain. Well, Spirit said something. The Spirit spoke and said, behold, three men seek you. You know what I'm preaching on? Can y'all hear me? The Spirit speak. Has he spoke to you? That old mother praying out there by Payton in Oklahoma in the woods during the war shouted herself out of the woods. Said, God said to send my boy home. Helped this boys in the whole country at that time. Men I'm talking about, there wasn't nothing wrong with them. Somebody said, don't get excited, Mama. I know you want him home. And you just like lots of other mothers, you just want him so bad till you think God told you. No, think about it, she said. Spirit spoke to me. Said, send him home. A few weeks later, somebody rushed in and said, you know who's coming down the road? She said, sure, I know who's coming down the road. Noticed exactly who's coming down the road. It's my boy. He couldn't hardly get to hug Mama because Mama's too busy shouting in the Spirit. Spirit ever talk to you any? What's it saying? It spoke then. The Spirit speaketh expressly. You got to get a little bit beyond just what's the written word sometime, and it's a dangerous place. But I will say we must have something besides just the word falling upon the eardrums of the human family. There must be a speaking of the Spirit to a man. Come and give me your heart. Old Charlie is the one that rolled the wagon wheel down through the camp meeting at Mount Tabor amongst the saints while they prayed under the old arbor they'd built. Thought how funny it'd be just roll a big old wagon wheel down to them. Pretty big, them old-time wagon wheels. The wagon wheel just weaved amongst the babies on the pallets, amongst the old ladies kneeling in prayer, and rolled up and leaned against the bench. Charlie said, that wasn't so funny. Act like somebody's rolling it. Well, I know God takes wheels off. I didn't know he rolled them, but I know he takes wheels off. He took them Egyptian wheels off. He's a rock thrower. Throw rocks at you. Knock you right in the head, you're running wide open. Yeah, he chunked rocks right down on people, right out of heaven. I tell you, the Spirit spoke to Charlie. He helped burn the first church down. He helped screw the taps off the wheels right out the last thread and hid in the woods on his horse and greased the wagon seats so they'd get grease all over them, and then the wheels roll off on the way home and the wagon fall and Charlie laughed. What a wonderful time. He is the one holding to the pine tree that night. 35 years ago, Jesus walked in the woods. Give me your heart, Charlie. Give me your... No, he said, no. He turned loose that tree, Charlie. I love you, Charlie. That's what I've done, yeah. That means I've been, yeah. Come on down. Carried him 100 pounds, sacked the sugar across them pine knots and made that white lightning down there just like you Kentucky fellas did. God brought him to the altar and saved him. I was at his funeral. I was there beside his bed when he died. God bless you. The Spirit said, is it still doing anything? You haven't ever had anybody come through here led of the Spirit, have you? Didn't schedule them for a meeting. Wasn't expecting them. Wasn't looking for them. Just walked in. Said, the Lord sent me. You don't hardly hear that anymore.
No.
Lord don't want to send nobody, don't reckon.
Yeah.
Lord don't send. Of course, now he sends quite a few folks to a church like this.
Yeah.
Got a pretty big crowd. What'd you say your address was down there, Charlie? He sends quite a few folks with us. Pretty good income, you know. Yes, sir. It's the truth. You call to preach? Well, if he ain't never sent you where there wasn't hardly nobody yet, you ain't listening to him right good if you preached any length of time. Because there's a church down in our country had a blowout. I mean a blowout. It's a bad blowout, I'll tell you. They had a fist fought if it hadn't looked so bad. They just well to. They'd been better off just had a good old fist fight and it showed out just what they were. And they could have prayed through then, girl. But they acted bad, you know. And I said, I'll never go there again. Now, I won't do it. Now, I wish you to listen. I don't know what you think about this. And I wouldn't, if I was you and I'd never heard LD before, I'd think it's a peculiar kind of a deal. But you know what? I said, I'll never go there again. Now, that's settled. I'm not a fool around. No such a hard-headed bunch of fussing and a fighting and all that foolishness. I'm not going over there. And that's that. And that's that. That's that. About 3 weeks later, as I pray, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm sending you to that church. No, it wasn't imagination. I wouldn't imagine nothing like that. I done settled that. I said, I ain't a going. Spirit said you have to go. I said, anyway, Spirit said you've got to go. You go or else. Whew, that's dangerous. So I said, all right, I'll go. And the Lord showed me three women in the church, three mothers of children, praying and begging God to send some preacher by to help them. It wasn't nobody else go by. They'd had such a blow out over there till everybody's afraid to go by. And they wouldn't go. And I went, walked in the door, and the old fellow said, well, I'll say. He didn't think I'd ever be there. I wasn't in on that blow out, but I wasn't going to get in on either. I said, you know why I'm here? He said, why are you here, LD? I said, the Spirit said, come. And you see them three women right yonder? One of them was his wife. They couldn't take their children anywhere else. Them hard heads wouldn't go nowhere else. They wouldn't fellowship nobody else. And the Lord sent me. You know they think I'm just about it, world. And I'm not it either. But they like me. Listen, there's somebody. You ever sing that song? Somebody somewhere is needing just you somewhere. This moment there's work you should do. God wants to lead you to someone who needs you. Somebody somewhere is needing just you. You and you only this need can supply. Strange it may seem, but the Master knows why. I don't know why I felt like the Lord wanted to use you, pal, when you prayed, but I don't know what all He might use you to do. I don't know. I don't ever call anybody to preach enough. But you know, I had a very strange feeling about you when you prayed. I did you. Looking at you, I felt like the Lord had used you in life some way. If you just have faith and patience and be willing. You know what? You know, the Lord might use you to affect a lot of people some way or another. Not you. That's right. I'm right now to you. You know what? The Spirit speaks. And it's strange of among us who He can use amongst us. Spirit speaketh. Says things to people. Peter, there's three men seeking you. Just a few parallels along with what's in the Bible. In the day we're in, God speaks to men. He deals with people. He does do it. Why, He does do it. That old woman down there in Oklahoma praying for revival, not a church in the community. Praying, asking God have mercy and send us a revival. Ain't no church. We don't even have no church. Praying. One night on my layfold, pulled up out front and the radiator just steaming. Hello! That's what you done down there. There's dogs in the yard. Hello there! You never walked up the door and knocked, getting knocked from out in the yard. Hello there! Pretty soon the old man answered, hello, who are you? He said, I'm a preacher man. She said, I knowed it. I knowed it. Said, God's answered my prayers. Start revival in the front room. We'd start revival if it could rent the armory. We sure can't have no revival, and I love radio programs. I got to preach a while on the radio this morning myself. We love things. We love advertisements. But we can't start a revival if we don't have a radio program, a brass band, and a preacher that knows two or three languages. Kill four or five people, almost kill them. Been on no Paul is live. Robbed two or three banks. Got a history as long and knock the devil a creek to read it. Start a revival in the front room with no church. Cane bottom chairs. Yeah, yeah. You ever hear a G.W. Bird song? His father-in-law is the one that give that boy 10 cents down yonder in Mena, Arkansas. That his little boy up on the street there took his guitar up. Little black boy went up there with his guitar every Saturday and sung Christian songs. And old Debbie flipped him a dime and said, sing me the St. Louis Blues. He said, yes, sir. I said, I don't know the St. Louis Blues. He said, I can sing you a Christian song. Well, he said, sing me one of them. It got under Debbie's hide. Did you know Debbie's the one that prayed through at one of them cane-bottom chairs in that little house beside the road? G.W. Birdsong's father-in-law, been a preacher years and years and years, prayed through at the cane-bottom chair just because an old man back behind the mountains heard God say, go. Heard God say, go. Have an ocean to shout. I got over home a while back, and a woman I heard, they said she had cancer, and you know, I got to pray, and the Spirit said she don't have. Ooh-wee. I liked the sound of it so well, I just called her and told her she didn't. I just went blind to the great physician's diagnosis. Just blanked out on the I've got better sense than that. I know better than to come against x-rays and men that's trained in school. I honor them in their profession. But when the Spirit says it, I just blank out on that. Hallelujah. I just called her and I said, it ain't so. They got me set up for surgery, Brother Moore. I said, quit your worrying. It ain't what they think it is, and you'll soon know it. Well, bless my heart, I come to find out they needed $3,000 to pay their bill. And I got in a meeting in Texas in a little old church about as far as from here to where that sister's come with her baby there. And about halfway the distance over these seats here, just a little old building. And you know, the Spirit spoke to me and said, take her an offering to pay her $3,000. Did you know we got it? And never had no $20 line or $100 line or $50 line. Never had to worry the folks to death with it. You know, she shouted down home when I told her she didn't have it. And when they went in and found she didn't have, she shouted again. And to top it all off, I went to camp meeting and met her. And I seen her years later up the road a-walking in good health. Years later, I seen her. I said, I see you several years older, and you're still going. Well, ain't no... Can't no grave hold my body down. I wish I'd be close to Claude's when he comes out of there. Spirit said anything to you lately? Well, I'll assure you if it did, didn't tell you, go tell somebody to keep the big mouth shut or you'd knock their teeth out. Some folks is getting the Spirit mixed up. Talk like the Holy Ghost tells them to say things that's plumb nasty. It don't do it. No, sir, it ain't got a gripey bone in it. I'm just preaching a little while tonight. I knew you wanted to stay a while. I don't want to send you home too early. You'd be disappointed. I know you would. You come too far to go home too early. The preaching ain't too good. You need to be here a while. And you're just wasting a trip. 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Now there were in the church. You better get in the church. You don't spread talk to you much. You got to get in the church. Yeah. I mean God's church. I preached out of San Bernardino, California, right out close where I was preaching the other day out there. Not far from it. But out there a few years ago, and I preached in church, an old boy said, Brother Moore, why don't you come in with us? I said, I'm with you. Didn't know it. Yeah, I said, I've been with you for years. Well, I didn't know you was in the church. Oh, I've been in the church for years, I said, I was born into it. Oh, he said, you don't understand, Brother Moore. I did, too. He said, I mean our organization. Oh, I said, you mean the pencil movement. I wasn't knocking his movement, but you know what? It's a shame to make any difference at all in the true children of God. I understand now. We can't go into all the whys and wherefores. I understand. I'm not knocking good men that are with organization without. But I'm saying when you're talking about God's children, you better get in the church. Amen. The way you get in God's church and become an active member is be born into it. It's a shame to be on a roster roll or become a member of any church that preaches the gospel without being saved. I hope you listen. Well, I'm glad I'm in the church without a spot or a wrinkle. I'm glad I'm in that church without a blemish. You got to get in that church. Well, they was in the church. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. While they're fasting and praying, the Holy Ghost spoke. You know that's what happened to me when I was just a boy. Just a young, very young man of preaching, I run into an embarrassing situation. I run out of money. One pair of breeches, one pair of dress trousers, no suit, no, just one pair of dress trousers, and run out of money. The Lord spoke to me and said, I'll be with you when I started. If you'll obey me and walk careful and be careful how you do and what you say. You can't just say anything that comes to your mind. You can't just go into church and repeat what they want you to say. God help us to have a little wisdom. I said, oh, God, help me to do your will. And the Lord blessed me, and I went out and preached. Well, one night I laid my family down in my house. My wife went to bed, my little boy went to bed. We all slept in this one bed here. We had an 11-foot house trailer here. Kerosene stove one end of it and a bed in another. Got cool in there in the winter. The quilts froze to the wall every morning in that trailer. Didn't have no insulation, we didn't know about it. And there's where I was kneeling in that big space there, about from here to right there, between the bed and the stove there, by the cabinet, I was kneeling right in there. And the Spirit of God come upon me, the Holy Ghost, and begin to speak in other tongues. Now, you may meet some folks that put on, but if it's real and in your heart, you won't let it use you because you're afraid they'll say that about you if you ain't careful. But I was by myself. My wife was asleep, so this wasn't put on. And the Spirit spoke through me and interpreted what the Holy Ghost said. And it said, did I not say unto thee, I will never leave thee or forsake thee? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Just tore me up. I sneaked in bed like a whipped pup. God, if you'll help me, I won't doubt no more, I said. And Charlie, I had $35 in the mail next morning. Now listen, that's just like $297 now. I'm telling you. It's a wonder they had any doors left on the post office when I come out. I felt like a banker that could loan money without interest. I just felt healthy and wealthy. And got home in the next day or so, and B said, guess what? I said, I know what. She said, how do you know? I said, I just know. Somebody bought me a suit of clothes. She said, that's right. Was I happy? I tell you what I could do. I could wear it every night in a revival and buy naphtha by the gallon. I'd wash that thing in naphtha and hang it out and let it air on the clothesline. And like I was, me and you, that first meeting of hell, I could take that and press that, you know. Wouldn't it? You help me press. We pressed them britches. Yeah, we done it. And I, you give me the two pair you ordered that didn't fit you. And it's too big for you. That looks bad on me. But we had the most wonderful time, and I pressed that, Brother Verl, and wear that night, and feel bad because it didn't have three or four. Why, no! Felt like a million. They got a suit on. I've got a suit on. They ain't the only one. You're the one that talked about that eternal tailor job, whatever it was. You bought a suit, and it had lifetime tailor with it. I remember that's what I need now. I remember you telling that, Chester. Well, we're having a good time, but if you have a better time in life, if you let the Spirit speak to you sometime. Spirit is very intelligent. It sent from God. It's part of God. And if you insult it or reject it, it's not like L.D. Moore. It won't holler for a cracker till it gives out. It won't holler for a cookie till it gives out. It's very mannerly, and it will speak to you. And if you resist it or reject it, maybe a while before you hear from it anymore. I'm telling you right. I notice here in the book, the Bible, John 16, chapter 13, verse, Bible says, howbeit when he... Who's that? It's called he about 10, 11 times here in two verses. Well, the Holy Ghost is called he. And when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, I know the day we're in, they'll tire that up. We'll have to put person there. Ladies, don't you take after that foolishness. Let men honor you as a woman. You demand their respect and they'll give it to you. Amen. You don't have any trouble with men saying bad jokes and bad language around you. You behave like a lady. You having trouble with men flirting with you? Watch it. There's two sides to that. You can take the flirt out of a man right quick. He don't know you and he tries to flirt with you. You give him a glory to God and a hallelujah and amen and a little witness. It'll stop that. Well, I old flirting old boys, a lot of them just big flirts, but you sister, don't you get all messed up in this end time and this here big fuss over whether we're treating the ladies right or not. You stay in there and be a woman. You be a woman. I don't sound mean now, but you don't you pack no six gun on you and try to go out here and act like you're going to whoop the world with a six gun. You be a woman. God bless you now. That's just Brother Moore. You can get mad if you want to, but you won't be the first one. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, why did I say that? He. Is there a difference? He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. Just a few thoughts tonight, not many, just a few, on the Spirit speaketh. I was preaching, I've told this before, and perhaps I ought not say it, but in Evans, Colorado, when my only brother took down in bed sick and he rushed in the hospital, they called me and said, your brother's sick. God spoke to me. The Spirit said immediately he will die and not live. I said, Jeff, I didn't pray. The Spirit spoke to me. I said, Jeff must return to Oklahoma right now. I've got to go tonight, right now. I drove. He died while I was on the road. I prayed for God to rebuke death till I could get there. God drove it back off. And when I got there, Daddy said he died. Lester, his eyes set in his head. I held my hand over him, trying to keep your mama from seeing it. But after a while, he breathed again and come back. He died 2 days later, 3 days later, 20 minutes to 2 o'clock in the morning. He went away. The Spirit speaking. What does it have to say then? If folks would listen to what the Spirit's got to say to them tonight, it'd be folks wouldn't get home. Somewhere, if folks would listen to what the Spirit is saying, they wouldn't be so quick to go home. If the Spirit would tell us in advance what's going to happen to our country in the next 3 years, there'd be a lot of people linger longer at the old camp meeting, at the old homecoming, at the altar in the church. The Spirit. I notice here in Acts the 13th chapter, in the first verse, I've already talked to you about this, but I want you to notice something. When they fasted and prayed, the church laid hands on them and sent them away, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus and preached God's Bible, because the Spirit said, go. Now, I felt like when the Lord dealt with me today, if he did, I thought he did. I felt like there would be someone here tonight that the Spirit was dealing with. I felt like there'd be someone here the Spirit was speaking to. Sometimes it's a little hard to understand what the Lord is saying, what he's trying to do with us. I know that. I was in a preacher's place in Sand Springs, Oklahoma, a few years ago, and middle of the evening the Lord spoke to me and said, you leave here. I said, I must go, brother. Oh, he said, I thought you were going to preach for me tonight, brother. I said, I thought it was too. But it can't. The Spirit has spoke to me and said, leave. Drove out the edge of town. Lord, I said, I don't know where to go. But I know you told me. And you know what the Spirit said? Just as quietly, you go to Wichita, Kansas. I drove there. I drove up in the yard. Pastor come out in the yard. Thank God, Brother Moore, thank God. He said, we've announced a revival to start tonight. We don't have an evangelist. We've announced it by faith. We's trusting God to send us somebody. We had a great meeting there. Third chapter of the book of Revelation, the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, open the door, we'll come unto him, we'll sup with him, and he with me. Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why won't you listen? Somebody's knocking at your door. I'd like to hear my mother's voice. We don't have any falling out. Not me and Mama. Mm-mm. You don't know it. You don't know whether it's true or not. But I've been as good as gold to Mama. Like to hear my daddy say Lester again. He's in the grave. Furl, is your mama gone? Is she still alive? How old is she now? 86. Fried the best fried taters you nearly ever eat in the world. Never will forget them. Brother L.L.'s daddy has been sick. We've been praying for him in Oklahoma. Get saved. Love to hear mother. She used to sing when I was a boy at home. Mother wasn't saved when I got saved. Daddy wasn't raised in a religious home. Mother had been to church some. She's never been a mean woman. Had her in the hospital for 3 months here. Not too awful long ago. Stood with mother. Been with her for years. Helped all I could. But you know, I was praying for mom. And mother had prayed. She's had me praying for her now for years. Attended my church for years. Sister's kept her out there since I got busy. And she decided she'd take her out there and keep her. One day, Lord spoke to me. I was praying for my mother. And the Lord said, cease to worry about your mother. Don't worry anymore about her. Be concerned, but don't worry. She's praying, seeking God. Said, don't worry anymore. You know, I'm off particular about people being saved. I've met folks told me they're saved, and they act as a dirty and honor. It lies hard to believe it. I'm not saying my mama did. But I'm telling you what I'm particular about folks telling me they're saved. I'm not a judge, but I just want to make it. That's all I'm trying to do, get them to make it, see. Lord, don't worry anymore about her. Don't worry anymore about her. So I quit worrying. But oh, I'd love to hear mama. I'd like to hear mama say, name and oh name, and go down by the stream, go down, go wash in that stream. She would sing that. I would like to hear her say, I'm satisfied with Jesus if he's satisfied with me. Your chair, sing this. I was going to a grocery store the other day, whistling the old rugged cross. Can't think of nothing else to do, whistle you a good Christian tune. They won't let you witness, whistle one. They won't let you sing, whistle one. I thought, well, maybe coming to you so much, bro, and I guess because you're back at me. So I stand up with the vegetables, and I seen this mother stand up front. I cut in louder. Charlie, you don't try to whistle if you can't, but can you whistle a little rugged cross? Well, that's, you can't do no good. Shut it down. Charlie, I was whistling over the vegetables, and I noticed this mother turn her head and look and listen. I raised it up. I sent the old rugged cross away, Chester. You know, when I got to it, that she come over to me and said, that helped me so much. That reminded me of my old mother-in-law. She said when she died, I said, whatever you do, play the old rugged cross. It beats the latest slap me down, saints go marching in stuff. Now, if you don't know, you don't understand. But they've hopped up and hipped up some of our old-time songs till they've knocked God plumb out of them. I'm preaching on the Spirit speaketh. Oh, for somebody way away from us tonight, where our sick ones are, that the Spirit might speak to, as it has every preacher here at some time or other, as they went through a hospital and said, go into that room there. Didn't know who there was. Said, say, I just felt like saying something to you. What are you? I'm a preacher. I'm so glad you come. Pray for me. I need help from God. I wish the Spirit speak to somebody in Hobbs. Head go there where my mother's at tonight. Lay their hands on her and pray for her. Somebody's, I wish I could hear Daddy, but I can't. But there's somebody speaking tonight that watched your daddy walk and live and watched him die. He's watched millions and billions do it, and he's still knocking. Now, he's not tearing the door down. And he's not turning the handle as if it's locked. But he's knocking. How long does he knock? How long would you knock? How long does God knock? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those folks that live over in Ohio, because they're special people and they're a little better than others, and I think more than anybody else, if they let you know, it's in him hand. Anywhere. I don't care. You know, if God had anything in the world against anybody because he didn't have no money, he'd have brought her up on me the first night. I'd have never got saved if he had anything against anybody when they get saved because they don't have money. He'd have turned me down. I can't hardly stand to hear preachers connect money with salvation or with divine healing. Very idea to pray for somebody and them get healed. Say, now, you know, you've been out a lot on doctors. You ought to be willing to support my ministry because I prayed the prayer of faith for you. I don't believe in that junk. No, sir. Somebody's knocking at your door when the rain's pouring down. Give me your heart, son. Somebody's knocking at your door, young lady. When everybody else turns you away, somebody's knocking. Spirit is saying, come. And the last book in the Bible said, in the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come. I will have to admit, you've got to get over a lot of things and around a lot of things and through a lot of things in the day we're in to get to God sometimes. But if you listen carefully, you can hear the Spirit speaking, saying, come. Will you stand tonight? I don't know what your need is, but my little message has been, the Spirit speaketh. The Spirit speaketh. While we sing or play, however you feel like doing, has the Spirit dealt with you? What is it? Who are you here tonight? What did you tell God? What was it you told him? The Lord spoke to you. Have you done what you told him? Have you done what the Spirit told you to do? Now look, if you don't do it like the Spirit said, you won't get results. You must be willing to obey the Spirit. That's right. You must. If you're here tonight and the Spirit is speaking to you, obey the Lord. That's the thing you do in life, have a victory. All right. Will you come? If you're unsaved, will you step out as the Spirit speaks to you and the Lord knocks on your heart?